Lady Shirin Chavis Halvav Hashem Rabbi Tochon, Sunday, Yud Dalet Iyar, Granted Pesach Sheni, Tavshinayin Hay. It's the 11th Shirin Shar Rabbi Tochon, and we're at the end of Perek Beis, towards the end of Perek Beis. Okay, well, let me call this Halvav Hashem Rabbi Tochon, Perek Beis. Perek Beis first starts off listing the seven things, seven qualities that the Chavis HaBaba says allow someone to have bitachon in something, in someone. Bitachon, we said, Aleph means to rely on someone, something, or some power, or anything. Maybe a machine. Bitachon means to rely on something which enables you to feel stress-free. You gave it over to someone to do, and you are not relaxed. It's out of your hands. It's in someone else's power. Now, there's many reasons why you would still feel stressed if you do that. As I said, I can tell my son to make a deposit to me in the bank, and I have to make that deposit or else I'm going to lose the mortgage. My son's a very responsible person, but I'm still nervous. I'm nervous something will happen to him on the way. I'm still a little stressed. He may forget about it. He may have other things to do, and I'll be so busy to forget. He may decide it's not good for me, it's good if I lose the mortgage, you know. I mean, he's a different person. I'm still going to be nervous till I hear that he did it right. We want to achieve that I'm relying on something that leaves me stress-free. So now, you say, that's impossible. How could I not be stressed? So he makes a list of seven things that Chavis HaBaba says. He's going to end up saying, we'll learn it today, that obviously these seven things can only exist in Hashem. Because in order to be stress-free, when I rely on someone, so number one was, the person cares about me and loves me and only wants what's best for me. Right? That was number one. Number two is, the person doesn't get distracted. The person of power or whatever it is does not get distracted. Is always focused. Number three is the person is capable of, he knows, it's in a different order in Perek Gimel, so it's a little confusing. Yet number three is that there's an omnipotence there, that the person doing it can do it. Nothing can stop him from doing it. No matter what, he's going to do it. Number four is that because Baruch Hu knows what's best to me, he created me, so he has the owner's manual. He knows what's best for me. This is a crucial point because many times we have trouble believing number one, because then why do I break my hand? Why am I not married yet? Why don't I have a child yet? Why do I have trouble with parnasa? Why do I have this? Hashem loves me so much. The answer is number four. Again, he's not talking about Hashem. I keep slipping into Hashem, but his point is, what does it take for me to be not stressed? A person has to care about me, totally, love me more than I love myself. Cares about me as much as parents, at least it's as much. And the closest thing we have to it is the way parents are supposed to care about their children. They mess up a lot. Not in my case, but otherwise they mess up. Unless they're sick and they don't deliberately mess up 99% of the time. They mean well. They just, parents are clueless, as we all know. And they mean well most of the time. I mean, it's only an ill individual that's a parent and doesn't want what's best for the child. I mean, if you want to have a picture of Hashem caring about us, I think that's the closest picture we have as a parent. And number two is that he's not distracted. Number three is that he's kol yachol, this thing, so nothing could stop. I don't have to worry that someone's going to stop Nehemiah from going to the bank, because kol yachol. Number four is enables number one, or maybe number one enables number four. And that is this person, this thing that I'm relying on to this extent that I'm totally not stressed, knows what's good for me. Maybe it's good for my guf, maybe it's good for my neshama, maybe it's not good now, but it's going to be fantastic after 2.5 weeks, or maybe 2.5 years. Or maybe my neshama will benefit greatly from it. But the point is, knows what's best for me. That was number three. That was number four. Number five is that there's no shutfus here. There's no one else. There's no one. He doesn't hand it off to anyone else. He knows that to rely on someone to such a degree, it has to be someone that he alone is in charge of the geschäft. Because he has all these qualities, but it's not going to do any good if he hands it off to someone else. Number six. It's a different order, that's why I'm confused, okay. Number six is... No, that was number six I just said. Number five is there's a track record. And he's been there for me. You know, okay, you know, there's different situations in life. Maybe I could rely on this person if I'm a thinking adult. But if, when I get old, can I rely on him? It becomes a pain in the neck to take to do things for me. Or young, old, when I'm cute, they'll do things for me. Now I'm not so cute anymore. Always been there for me in every conceivable stage of the game. The Lovers is talking logically. He's making a list. Maybe we can make our own list. What does it take for me to completely rely on someone to the degree that I am totally unstressed and I outsourced it and I gave it over to someone that's going to take care of it? I'm not stressed. What do you mean I'm not stressed? Right? And the big... People have a lot of immediate questions. But they're nervous. Maybe they don't deserve to have good things happen to them. They're nervous because who says it's going to happen? Like, maybe it's not going to happen. So if it doesn't happen, it's not good for me. So I'm thrilled. I'm happy. So the word nervous is maybe not a good word, because I'm nervous to see. You know, I'm nervous. You're nervous to see. When the bus is going to come, I think you understand there's nothing you can do about the bus coming or not. You can peer into the distance all you want. It's not going to make the bus come any faster. So that's the nervous, that's the nervousness of anticipation. If you know for sure that someone's controlling the bus, and nothing can stop, no traffic jam, and no breakdown is going to stop the bus coming on time, assuming it's good for you. And if it doesn't come on time, it means it's not good for you. Someone is controlling every aspect of your life and is only doing what's best for you. So you're going to be gone. What are you going to be nervous about? It'll be nuts. You know, Texas, you have to work on all these things. Let me just finish. And number seven is he's going to do these things for you if they're good for you, even if you don't necessarily deserve them, which is a biggie, because we all walk around with guilt feelings that we don't deserve to have good things happen to us. Yeah.
I can understand with the bus, but Chas v'Shalom, let's say a person is ill or their loved one is ill and they're not getting better. It's very hard to think it's the best thing for them that they're getting sicker by the minute.
Yes, it's hard, but it's part of our basic emunah. First of all, we have to be talking that the person will get better. We're talking about a death sentence. Meanwhile, they're not getting better, so we work on our bitachon, we work on our tefillah, we do things for zchusim. And in the back of our minds, there's a little spot that says, I hold it should be there from the beginning, and you know something? If it doesn't get better, it means it's for the best. And this is a basic chiyuv. It's not esoteric, it's not Kabbalah, it's in the Mishnah, it's in the Gemara, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Gemara demands of us to such a degree that we have to make a Dayan Emes B'Simcha, which seems so counterintuitive that I don't even know how to describe it. Because I'm making a Dayan Emes because I'm in pain and I feel a loss and I'm not happy it happened. I mean, I'm not. But you have to make a B'Simcha. So you have to have at least in this world an intellectual awareness that whatever Hashem does is for the best, and that's what we want out. Rabbi Akiva, Nochem Yishgamzu, and it has to be worked on. You say, it's true. You can't work on it it's difficult, but it's only difficult if you think about Hashem only when you have a problem. If a person studies Shaar HaBechina and realizes that Hashem is constantly showering him or her with good, and he's responsible for my life, and he's responsible for people taking care of me, and he's responsible for my digesting food, and for my being able to see and hear, and gravity, and a million other things, and Hashem is there for me. And, you know, you're able to say, in Anachron Maspikim, Lahodos Lecha, Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, Alachas Me'elef Alfei Elofim, V'ribei Rerovos Pavim HaTavosh, Hashem Elokeinu, because in every breath we take, like a million tovos, if you study biology, like a million things going on in your body, every electrical impulse, the blood flowing, digesting food, it's utterly amazing. So if you study, that's why he put Shara Bechina second. Shara Yichud is first, because you have to believe everything's from Hashem. If you don't believe everything is Hashem, then you can't get started. If you believe that someone's going to mess me up and like snuck around Hashem, it's true, then you can't get started. So that's why Shara Yichud is first. Shara Bechina is second, because Shara Bechina says, I want you to every day think about what Hashem does for you. You can't possibly think about what He does for you completely, because that would take up your whole day and you'd have a lot of leftovers to go. So think about one thing every day. Thank you, Hashem, that I can smell. Thank you, Hashem, that I can see. Thank you, Hashem, that I can hear. Thank you, look around. Thank you, Hashem, that I'm sane. Other people are not sane. If you're not so sane, thank Hashem that you're able to function. It's also thank you, Hashem. Down to every moment of life. Every moment of life is, the halacha reflects that. Every moment of life is infinitely precious. And so thank you, Hashem, that I'm able to live, that I exist, that I'm from, that I'm a Jew, that I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, that I'm married. It's like, it just keeps going. So it's true. If a person does not have, your point is well taken. If a person does not have a well-developed sense that Hashem is a native, then they're going to have a problem. Then it's going to break down. Number four is going to break down. You say, well, Hashem might know what's good for me, but He ain't doing it. He knows everything else that's good for me, right? And a person should be enough introspective to know that everybody has had a story where they thought something was terrible and it turned out the best thing in the world. Everybody has a story. Come on. I got fired from Mesh HaTor and I ended up in Beis Tefillah. Well, maybe that's not a good example. You know, everybody had someone say no to them and then they end up with a better shidduch. People didn't get a job, and then they got a better job, or it turned out to be better for them. You don't always miss the plane and the plane crashes. You're saying sometimes you make the plane and the plane crashes. Sometimes you don't find out for 10 years. Sometimes you don't find out. Let's say you find out in Olam Haba that it was a kapara, and that, you know, if you'd have to serve a hard time in Gehenna, and now you struggled for Parnassah, and that frees you to go into Gan Eden. You won't stop thanking Hashem. A couple of years of struggle down here, and you don't have to suffer upstairs. It's an amazing tova. You're right. You can't. That's why these seven things. A person has to have a very. That's where it breaks down. People say, "How do I know Hashem is made it?" Doesn't look to me like tov. You have to work on that belief. What's going to bring you to realize it is Shara Bechina. When you realize Hashem is constantly showering us with tov. So like, it's not even logical that He picked one thing, like, to be mean. And that is part of the belief that Hashem is meitiv, Hashem is tov, Hashem is perfect, Hashem doesn't make mistakes, Hashem doesn't ignore us, that's number two. It's not like, oh, Hashem forgot about me. So my kid became sick because Hashem forgot about me. It's an avoda. Everything's an avoda. It's not going to come automatically. No one's going to wake up and get a doctor's report from the doctor and jump up and say, hooray, hooray, my kid is sick. You know, no one does that. It's not normal. So you have to think, and you have to work, and you have to. That we didn't start working yet. He is now setting up. The work starts in Perek Gimel. You're a potter from having bitachon Until we learn Perek Gimel and Dalet. Perek Gimel and Dalet is the workbook of how to develop Bitachon. Now he wants you to understand. Bitachon means, for example, Takdama is how wonderful Bitachon is and how many benefits it gives you. That's the Psicha. Perek Aleph was to define Bitachon. It means I'm not stressed, I'm calm, I outsourced it to someone that's going to do take care of me. Now he's saying, in Perek Beis, logically, this is the qualities that the object of my bitachon needs in order for me to have bitachon. And he's just, you don't even have to ask questions yet, because he's just, you can only ask questions, you don't have questions on the definition. Now, we're agreeing that if I don't trust the person to do what's best for me, I'm going to be stressed, and I can't have bitachon. Fine. So that's all he's saying here. That's all we're up to here. He's giving you the seven qualities that allow me to have bitachon. And they're all logical, and they all make sense, and he wants to achieve perfect bitachon, meaning I'm not at all stressed. And now we're up to the beginning of the paragraph. Once you have these seven things, they're all logical, it's common sense, it's sikli. I want to achieve bitachon, I want to have bitachon. It's a mitzvah, I want to do it, I see it's a midah, that's what I'm talking about. So, when we think about the seven conditions are not psukim, they're logic, pure logic. What will allow me to be not stressed at all? And he gives seven, he doesn't just throw out one. Hashem is good, cares about me. Why? Let me ask you something. Because people struggle with this. If Hashem, when you say, is Hashem really a mative? You're really going back to asking, does Hashem love me and care about me? That's what you're really having trouble with. Because if you believe Hashem is Kol Yachol, and every believing Jew is going to say, yeah, Kol Yachol, of course, all of us think otherwise, right? Or else I can't drink wine Friday night. Of course Hashem is Kol Yachol. And of course I think Hashem loves me and cares about me. Wait a second. Let's just take these two things. If Hashem cares about me and loves me and he's Kol Yachol, why would he do something bad? Right? Just those two don't make any sense. So that plus that equals Hashem. And we say, Tov Hashem Lakol, V'Rachamav Lakol Ma'asov. Hashem is only a mative. If that doesn't do it for you, the Ramchal says Hashem is a mative. And that's part of Hashem's persona, part of the expression. Hashem, by definition, is a mative. Again, he's Kol Yachol and he loves me. Again, think of the parent. But a parent won't deliberately do anything bad to a child. Not a normal parent. Okay? Hashem is normal. Okay. He won't slip, and a parent slips up. And a parent thinks they know what's good for the child, and they're killing the child. Happens all the time. That's why therapists have panos. But Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem knows what's best. That's one of these seven things. So Hashem knows what's best. And he's Kol Yachol. And he cares about me. So like the obvious conclusion is that he's only going to do what's good for me. No, I don't see it. So have a little introspection that our vision is limited. And you know, we see today, we want instant gratification. We're living in a door that's even more impatient than ever before, that's more instant gratification than ever before. And therefore we struggle with this, but we shouldn't. If we have a healthy idea of who Hashem is and what his relationship with us is, we wouldn't struggle. So it takes work. That's why it's so good to learn Shara Bechina, because by the time you get through Shara Bechina, you're like sick of the topic already. Okay, Hashem is good. Stop already. Leave me alone. Because Shara Bechina goes through everything and says, look what Hashem does. Boom, 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 boom. And this was 1,000 years ago, 1,200 years ago. We know 10,000 more times than the Chodesh HaLovitz knew about how everything works and how complex it is. And look what has to happen in order for me to live. And look what has to happen in order for me to have nutrition. And look what has happened. The Chavzalos, I learned yesterday with the men, I learned the Chavzalos every night for 5 minutes, 2 or 10 minutes, what we call it 5 minutes, about how a baby, a fetus exists in a womb. we know like 1,000 times more of the amazingness of it than the Chayes Halvavos did. He just knew, like, I don't understand. It's not eating a salami sandwich, like that was a living. Right? So he didn't know that it somehow was fed by the mother through the umbilical cord. But I don't know, maybe he even knew the blood, the nutrients, I don't know if it's like nutrients, and it breaks up the food, and the nutrients, and I don't know if he knew that. He just said, this is amazing. If you delve into it, you could spend a half a year in the flows, the nisim, how a baby exists in the womb. Right? The mother falls down, she could hurt herself. The baby's not hurt. Maybe a lot of cushions, very cushions. Okay, so it's a very, very good question, and this is the struggle. This is the struggle when things happen. This is the struggle. But that's why bitachon is the solution. And we go back to the psicha. That's why a person with bitachon is going to have a pleasant life, a happy life, an optimistic life, a cheerful life, emotionally healthy life, is able to handle disappointments, takes chances. This is what we learned with the psicha. Is willing to go try something new because they're not afraid of failure. Because if it's within the realm of not miraculous, not miracles, not open miracles, so that, you know, I want to open a store and I want to sell baby items, you know, but you know, I'm a little scared. So it's up to Hashem if I succeed or not, right? I don't have any business. So you have to make sure you're within the realm of Ishtaglus. And if you're in the realm of Ishtaglus, then you have Bitachon, and you try things. Like, you're not afraid. You're independent. You're not dependent on what other people are going to think of you, right? You want to sell colorful dresses. You say, don't kick your kid out of cheder. You say, no, I want to do this. Either they'll kick him out of cheder, and if it happens, then it's good. But it's good if he goes to a different cheder. Or they won't kick him out of cheder. I had a son. I was in the principal's office like every week, or it seemed that way. They started charging me rent. And this is my son that went to America, and Baruch Hashem, he's married now, he has 3 kids from the INR. He's a good boy, but I'm able to say that now. So he went to the yeshiva in America, Baruch Hashem, he went to the yeshiva. And he was, could have been on the street very easily. Went to the yeshiva. Thank you, Hashem. I went to yeshiva. But I got calls, you know, what are you going to do? So my sister was taking care of him. And I, you know, you try, I'm not saying I have to tough on, you know, I struggle with everything also. You try, you know. Until it gets to the point where it's a mace that they don't throw him out. So I was over to the mace, because I was in America once, and I spoke to the head of the yeshiva. And he said, you know, really, I should throw him out. I don't know what it is. Every time, he's like Motze Chen Beinai, because he's a boy with Chen. And every time I want to throw him out, I just can't bring myself to do it, because he's Motze Chen Beinai. So I know he doesn't belong, and I know he shouldn't be, but he's Motze Chen Beinai. Now, why? That means Hashem. Someone asked me the other day, someone is struggling with an ill husband, and a Parnas opportunity came up. She didn't know if she would get it, but it would be a good thing to have because the husband's sick, struggle for parnasa. But it would take a lot of her time. And she didn't know for sure if she would be able to be there for her husband. She would be able to handle caring for her husband and taking the job. The job was online, rather. But still, it's a cry, you know. So I said to her, she doesn't know what to do. So my first answer was, how the heck do I know? My second answer, that's always my first answer. I thought it's a kind of yes, what do you want from me? My second answer was, relax. Go for the job. It's a good thing for you. If Hashem knows that you can't handle it, they'll say no. And that'll be the answer to your question. Can I handle it? If they say yes, it means you can't handle it. And if they say no, don't be disappointed and upset and angry at Hashem, because you yourself are Mesukkah if you can handle it. So this is beautiful. The two things are coming together. If they say no, it means you can't handle it. So don't be upset, don't be disappointed, and don't be angry, and don't be resentful. You can't handle it. And if they say yes, you thank Hashem, it means, hopefully, that you can handle it. You need the parnasa. It's a wonderful opportunity. You never dreamed it just popped into your lap. You didn't do a hishtadlus even to get it. It just came to you. Fantastic. You should, don't be nervous. Whatever they say is great. If they say no, it's great. Because it means you couldn't have handled it and your husband comes first. And if they say yes, it's great. So go for it. The grandmother said yes. If you don't know anything. But that's not the point of the story. Because if they would have said no, it would have been the same clarity, the same atonis or sphakis, the same, you know, that's bitachon does for you. It makes you calm, and you realize Hashem's going to do what's best for me. Hashem's going to work it out. You don't get accepted into the school you want to go. Once it's, maybe Hashem wants you to try harder, and to beg, and we don't know what Hashem wants. You never know. Maybe Hashem doesn't want you to have children, you know? No? Some people don't have children for many years, and the world is black, and then they have children, and then they look back, and they see, we know someone, I'm not going to say a name because it's not nice, but in the years that she didn't have children, she became a gadol. She became a gadol. I'm sure in retrospect, she doesn't say, oh, I only have, I don't know how many children she has now. Let's say she has 3 or 4, I don't know. She doesn't look, oh, I could have had 5 or 6. A girl gets engaged at 34 and married. No normal girl says, oh, I could have been married at 24. Oh, I would have. No, she says, Baruch Hashem, I did something with my life. Hopefully you did. From 21 to 34, I did things I couldn't have done if I wasn't married. Right? So really the fear of an older girl is that she'll never get married. That's the real fear. So you have to be told that you will. That's all. Because no one normal says, oh, no one's mitsta'er that they got married at 36 and they wish they got married at 24. I don't think a normal person is mitsta'er. They don't look back. They say, okay, now I'm married. That's great. That's fantastic. Oh, I only have 3 children. I could have had 5. I never heard a normal person say that or express that. Or even, I doubt they feel that way. Because they say, this is my life. This is the children I'm supposed to have. This is wonderful. And some people are not supposed to have children. The greatest of Gedolim didn't have children, right? Do we need to go further than the Lubavitcher Rebbe, than the Satmar Rebbe, than the Chazon Ish? I mean, it's uncanny how people that led Klal Yisrael, I don't know why. I mean, could they not have handled it? We don't know why, but it's something weird about that they didn't have children. They totally devoted themselves to the cloud. Baba Berman, Mer Shishima, didn't have boys, he had 6 girls. Never, if that poor boy would have been on wreck. Would have made him crazy. I don't know if it was good for a Baba, but it was good for the unborn boy, that's for sure. So that's it. These are things that take work, and they're not easy, you know, sitting here laughing, but there's an avoda. But this is, and it all comes from Emunah. It all comes from Emunah. We have to work on our Emunah. That's why now they're starting to have courses in these things. They're starting to develop curriculums and have lessons in Emunah. There's no better sefer than the Chavis HaLavavos of Bitachon. I've examined every sefer. There is, I don't know, many, many Sfarim on Bitachon. They're all inspirational and wonderful and they uplifting and everything good. Only the Chavis HaLavavos gives you a how-to plan of how to develop it. Think this, then think about that, then think about this, and this is what you have to do to be Kone Bitachon. And that's so invaluable. That's so terrific. Otherwise, you're inspired, but you don't really know what to do. If I take a pill every day. Okay. So, again, common sense and logic says that for me to achieve Bitachon, I have, these 7 things have to be true about the object that I'm relying on. I'm relying on the electric company to keep my refrigerator going. Well, not really, not 100%, because if it's good for them to make a brownout, they're going to make a brownout. They don't care that my meat's getting spoiled. They don't care. They're oblivious to it. It's good for them to make a brownout because they can't supply enough electricity now for everybody that wants it. then I'm thinking of my tova, and then I call yachol. Right? I'm relying anything, relying on the refrigerator, relying on the kashkumat to give me money. You know? I'm relying on anything. I'm relying on my boss. I'm relying on the mayor. Anything. Anything is flawed. You need all seven. He's very careful to say number seven, for example. I don't deserve it. He's going to do it anyway. Do it anyway. You'll be stressed. If you can't believe that about the object of your bitachon, that he's going to do what's good for you, even if you don't deserve what's good for you, it's so insightful to make that one of the seven, that you have to believe that, otherwise you'll be stressed. Because everybody feels like, oh boy, I know what I deserve. Like, there's no reason why things should work out for me. I deserve it. No. And Chazal is very weird. That's a very insightful thing to put on the list. You wouldn't think so. He said, you have to be not stressed. You have to believe they're going to do for you even if you don't deserve it. But he'll say later, in the later parak, you have to do yuel. You can't just live the life you want to lead and just have bitachon. Some Rishonim hold you can. It's machlokas. Chazalava says not. Some Rishonim hold a Rasha can have bitachon and reap all the benefits of bitachon. I'm not sure there's a machlokas. We'll get into this later. It depends what kind of a Rasha you're talking about. It could be a Rasha with Teyavon. The Chazalava would agree. But it's hard to imagine a Rasha Lahachis believing the seven things about Hashem. It's just hard to imagine someone being a Rasha, and, you know, so Rasha the Teyavon I could believe, because, you know, we're all, please forgive me, you know, we're all mini Rishon the Teyavon in some small way. You know, we want to do things and we don't always control ourselves completely. But that's if you're. If you're morid against Hashem, that's like a separate category we're going to learn. That's if you're morid against Hashem. Right? You don't trample someone's tomato patch and then knock on the door and ask him for a loan. So you don't do that to Hashem either. And not deserving means, you know, you were human. You were human, you weren't perfect. That's what he means, not deserving. A funny thing he says, if I think about these seven, and you can make your own list. So you think about these seven things, it's ludicrous to think that a person or a machine or anything can have these seven things. Even nature can have all seven things. Nature doesn't care about me. Nature doesn't care about me. Nature will do what it does. It doesn't care if I'm good, if I'm evil, if I'm me, if I'm. That in some form of Bori Shumer. Okay, he goes through now a bunch of psukim. I'm going to skip. Because he just, you know, he says the psukim. Let's say it. Now, say, why did he say psukim for? Well, people used to know nach. So he goes through the psukim because people say, oh, that's a good way for me to remember these things. Because I have all these psukim that I know about. But we don't know nach, so to us the psukim do nothing. Okay. I'll believe that Chazal says it. Like, I don't care that Eov said it.
Well,
or
that
Dovin
Amon. What?
We say it in our Dovin a lot. Okay, great. Okay, so I'm skipping the Psukim and I'm going to Perek Gimel. But I will say the last. No, I want to say the last five lines of Perek Beis. The Hasechel goes there, common sense, and the Chazal is a big believer in common sense. He writes that in his Sefer, and to the Sechel. He believes firmly in rational thought. And that's why he could say such a sentence. The Hasechel goes there, Bikoveis Eila, Shiva, and Yon, and Baborius Aleph, and built in a room. So common sense demands, logic and common sense says, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these seven things, and people don't, I don't really need the psukim to say. Common sense. The seven things are common sense, and common sense says that only Hashem has these seven things, not people. So what do I need the psukim for? He says I only wrote the psukim as a mnemonic device. Again, because he knows, if you know Nach, you'll remember it. L'cheine v'eshe'el ha-psukim en'akosel l'zikorem b'lovah, only as a memory aid. Now, v'chashe yizbar zel ha'odom, and it takes a year of work And he's going to say them again in Perek Gimel from Hashem's perspective. Because Perek Gimel starts, okay, we are now going to work on Midas HaBitachon. So, number one, believe that these seven things are true about Hashem. And he goes through all seven things again, but from a more down-to-earth perspective, talking about Hashem, which we did a Perek Beis, but we shouldn't have done it. We should have learned it the way he constructed the Sefer. Perek Beis is common sense. Yes, I need to know this to have bitachon. I need to know this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He then says at the end of Perek Beis, only Hashem has these things. Brings down Sukkim. He now says, Sukkim is just a memory aid. Any common sense and logic says only Hashem has these seven things. Common sense and logic says this is the only way you can rely on someone to the degree that you won't be at all stressed, which is Perek Aleph's point, the definition. Chashi is barzel other. It could take a year, 2 years. Yes, I have developed clarity that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is true about Hashem, and we're going to start learning that in Perek Gimel, because Perek Gimel is, as I say, okay, we are now going to develop the Midas HaBitachon. V'tishchazek hakaroso v'amitas chesed habore, there's no doubt. Yes, you have to have total clarity that Hashem showers us with chesed, because he cares about it and loves us, and will only do what's good for us, because he knows what's good for us. He's not going to make a mistake, and he's not going to do it, right? A parent will put a kid to sleep a half hour before their bedtime, because they want the kid out of the way, because her friends are coming over. And she'll tell the kid, oh, I see you're a little tired. You need to get more rest. You have a rough day coming up tomorrow. Full of all, right? Okay. But Hashem doesn't do that. Right? Hashem only does it because it's good for us. So Yischazek HaKaroso Ba'amidas Chesed HaBore. And maybe you have to learn through the whole Shara Bechina for that. And maybe Shara Bechina doesn't even work until you learn Shara Yichud. And you're convinced that everything in the world is from Hashem. Then you learn Shara Bechina and you see what's going on in this world. And then you Google things and you see that, boy, the Chazalot was real old fashioned. It's like a million times more amazing than he realized when you buy books that discuss the flow of Sabore. And then there are more and more books coming out describing the flow of Sabore in anything. You Google the words rain and you won't say, darn it, it's raining anymore. Rain is like life. Wind, oxygen, anything.
The sand from the Sahara.
Yeah.
And they've done studies that they fertilize wherever they land.
So then if that, well, you will be able to rely on Hashem. Do it. You know, you get to that. I can't rely on Hashem. Oh man, because I'm all messed up. I can't find a skirt that matches my blouse. When you think about these seven things, and you think about Hashem, and you think about Shara Bechina, and you think about, you know, the Amitus Chesed Hashem, so then you'll be able to be Boteach Hashem. V'yibosar Elov, that already has to do with Shara Hodos Elokim. You will want to say thank you and show your gratitude to Hashem when it hits you how much he does for you. But you can't have that unless you realize that everything's from Hashem. So every step we take, every move we make, everything is from Hashem. So then we want to be bound to Hashem because we want to say thank you. That's Vibosar Elo. That's the Yisod of Shara Bodhis Olokim. The Aniyah Hanagasa Olam, and I'll rely on him. He's Kol Yochol. He's made him. He only wants what's best for me. And he knows what's best for me more than I do. So what am I nervous about? I should be nervous if I take things into my own hands. Then I should be nervous. Because I'm going to mess up. I'm going to do what seems good for me, and I'm going to find out in a year it was like terrible. Terrible. Oh my goodness. I messed up my life. I didn't know. Yeah, but you need to go to leave it up to Hashem. There is Hishtadlus, and he'll talk about it in Perek Gimel, and it's one of the five. In Perek Gimel, he says there are five prerequisites. There are five things you have to internalize and know and work on in order to develop bitachon. That's a Perek Gimel. That's where we start. Perek Daled is applying the lessons of Perek Gimel, and he gives you real life case histories. He says, okay, it's like They do it in the classroom. They say, okay, let's play act. This happens. Your boss fires you. What did the Baal Bitochon think? How did the Baal Bitochon react? I get depressed and I go to bed and I curl up in the fetal position and I buy a bar of chocolate and I eat it. That's what I do if I got fired. But that's, you're not applying the lessons of Perek Gimel. So that's what Perek Dalet is. Perek Dalet is a wonderful Perek. It's so practical. He says this is how you apply the things we learned in Perek Gimel. The lo yachshideu bedino. That's it. Chazal is very smart. Don't be choshed b'ksheira. That's what he says about Hashem. Don't be choshed him that he's messing you up. Don't be choshed him that he's doing something bad to you. Don't be choshed that he doesn't care about you. Don't be choshed that he's like out to get you. You're being choshed b'ksheira. That's a beautiful lesson. Well, yachshideu bedino. The lo yiskatzefal b'chirosalo. And you won't get resentful about the life Hashem has chosen for you. You will say, this is the best possible life for me, my neshama, that I could have. I just thank you, Hashem, because I don't know what I would have done if I would have been born in an age without cell phones. I don't know what I would have done. Like, thank you for that. V'lo yisk, such beautiful words. V'lo yachideo bedino, v'lo yiskatzef al b'chirosolo. Don't be resentful. Don't get angry at what Hashem has chosen for your life. He knows your neshama. He created you. He knows what's best for you. And the Kemosher Adogar Amelech Alav Hashalom, Kos Yeshuos Eso V'Shem Hashem Ekro, V'Amar Tzor V'Yavon Emso V'Shem Hashem Ekro. So when we read the pasuk, we don't chat. So we say, okay, Kos Yeshuos Eso V'Shem Hashem Ekro means I say Hallel. And Tzor of Yogadam to Hashem Hashem Ekro means I daven, Hashem, get me out of this. Because I've always seen in the psukim that I'm as relaxed and I'm just relying on Hashem. It could be in one way you say Hallel and one way you daven, but it's the same phrase is indicative that I can handle them both. I know I'm in Hashem's hands. And no one had, David is like top 10 hard, difficult lives. David's in the top 10. He was born, they thought he was a mamzer, they thought he was a possum. They threw him out of the house and they sent him away. They didn't even think of him as a son. Then, next thing, what happens next? His father-in-law wants to kill him. It's not so unusual, okay. He makes this big Yeshua for Klal Yisrael and his father-in-law wants to kill him and then he has to run away. And he has to slip out the window, his wife lets him down and he runs away.
And they send him to kill him.
Then he's at least there to Israel, and meanwhile he knows he's the Melech. Shmuel HaNovi made him Melech, but a lot of good it does him. He's running around out there, he's in Golus, he's outside of Eretz Israel. Amalek attacks, the Plishtim attack, like he's full of tzaras. He comes back, Shaul and Yonason die, and then Ishbosheth makes war with him. He's not out of the woods yet. He has a couple of years of war with Ishbosheth. He finally becomes king. He lived 70 years of his whole life. I mean, and he's already, 33, 40 when he becomes king. 30. 7 years just in Hebron, right? And then he becomes king. Then he has, Bathsheba, the story. Avshalom rebels against him. Achitophel turns against him. Klal Yisrael turns against him. He can't build the Beis HaMikdash. His kid dies, right? One child dies, another child dies, killed by another child. Avshalom rebels against him, and then the Klal Yisrael is mostly on Avshalom's side, because of the Bathsheba story, right? And he made Tehillim, and he's David HaMelech. He's the fourth wheel on the Merkava, it's called. It's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and then David. And why did David was so chet to it? When Shimi Ben Gera cursed him, and he said, what are you getting excited about? He told his people, Hashem's cursing me. Hashem sent him to curse me. It's not him, it's Hashem. That was it. At that moment, he became like the fourth wheel of the Merkabah. He was so into Hashem. He was so... So that David HaMelech, arguably, no. You think he had a messed up life? I don't think anybody has a more messed up life than David HaMelech had. See, we think of David as the hero, but the Chazal is pointing out, Zohar v'yogan emtzom, Shem HaShem Ekra. You look at Tehillim, the Yom Shlishi, if you know, the Yom Shlishi is full of this one turned again. The Zifim turned him in. Plishtim captured him. Afikofel, you know.
Goliath also.
There he went out. But it's unbelievable what happened. You know, that his biggest dream in life was to build a base of Mekdash, and Hashem said no. And then to be your son and his children. It's like you think about his life. Okay, we'll start with Perek Gimel next week. Wednesday there will be a shiur. There's plenty of time till the festivities start.
Tuesday, Rabbi Lieber is talking by us to Evelyn Jacobs. 9:10.
Monday,
talking by Evelyn Jacobs tomorrow.
Who is
she? Rabbi Lieber.
We're not going to do it.